It's the Real Estate Podcast, brought to you by ANZ Home Loans for financial well-beings.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Real Estate Breakfast as we cover the very latest in property news. We do that every day of the week, 7 days on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, as well as Amazon. And we are up to a Wednesday. Didn't take long to get here. March the 27th today. And as you know, it's been revealed that Australians must adapt to higher density living and these shrinking land sizes to be able to afford property in the future. The Domain Price Per Square Meter report exposes this staggering rise in land costs nationwide over the past decade, which we have talked about over the last week or so and highlighted some of the prices and where some of the concerns lay. Even if you look at traditionally more affordable cities like Perth, Brisbane, and Adelaide, they have seen a doubling in prices. And the experts now are stressing and warning that without embracing smaller land sizes, housing affordability is only going to get worse. So there is this whole call for increasing high and mid-density housing options to be made. And alongside that, the necessity for urban planning reforms to address the crisis. So with all of that in mind, joining us this morning is Esther Suckling, an associate working in the housing division from Grattan Institute. And a very good morning to you, Esther. Welcome to the Real Estate Breakfast. And first off, got to ask, how does the recent report suggest Australians should adjust to this whole thing of future property ownership, considering this higher density living and shrinking land sizes that we're talking about?
I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me. So this report echoes a lot of the sentiments that at the Grattan Institute, our research has touched on, which is that the limited supply of housing is the key driver of the big increase we've seen in house prices and the very tight rental market for many Australians. In order to move towards a housing market which is more affordable and has a higher vacancy rate of properties, we need to be able to shift our housing stock from the current makeup, where we have mostly single unit, larger land sizes, to more of a variety of stock, which includes more low or more medium to high density housing.
So with this, I mean, they're talking about median to higher density. I mean, that's the option. That's what they're saying people should be doing. But that's all well and good saying, hey, we'd like you to get into higher density. But it comes down to the attitude and very much the mindset, because not everybody is in this current frame of thinking, are they?
Yeah, so I think that's a good point. There has historically been sort of the dream in Australia of owning the block of land with the garden out the back and a fair bit of space. But as the housing market has tightened, we're seeing that attitudes have really shifted, and there are more Australians, particularly young Australians, who are interested in living in smaller units, whether that be an apartment or a townhouse. But what we're noticing is that people's preferences are changing. So in 2016, smaller dwellings, including townhouses and apartments, made up 44% of Sydney's housing stock and 33% of Melbourne's. But when we asked people across the two cities about their preferences, people said that they had a much higher appetite for reasonably priced smaller dwellings. So people wanted the Sydney market to have 59% smaller dwellings, and people in Melbourne wanted the market to have around half, 52% of dwellings being smaller and more affordable. Another thing I'll just touch on is that we are seeing more demand for greater variety of smaller units of land. So it's not just a big 10-story building with quite small apartments. We're also seeing demand for, say, a semi-detached townhouse, which might better accommodate a smaller family.
Okay, so that sort of all makes sense. And if we come back to that question of attitude and mindset, not everybody wanting to do it, I guess one of the knock-on effects of property being so expensive is that people have very little choice in many cases, that they have to go into units, they have to go into these higher density areas.
Yeah, so look, what we're seeing at the moment is that it's almost the opposite in the places that people really want to live. So if you look at the middle rings of Melbourne and Sydney, we have pretty low stock of medium and high density living, and that's because state and local governments are in control of the planning framework, which dictates what can be built. And Australia has a very complex, restrictive planning framework in most areas. So that means that you'll see a lot of hesitancy and resistance amongst residents to increase density. So many people have a story of, you know, in an area where they may want to buy, there is a proposed development, but it's knocked back by the council or the local government. The issue here is that the people who do get a seat at the table are the ones that already live in the area, but the people who may benefit from living there in a new medium density development, they don't have a say. And so we see this continual trend of policies or developments which might improve affordability being knocked back.
Okay, then. So we are talking this morning to Esther all about the density in housing options for the future. We'll come back after this and discuss more.
Gain insights with exclusive conversations from real estate professionals about buying, selling and investing across Australia.
And right now it's time for another 30-second property tip. Let's go to Nick Jones there in Sandringham. And a very good morning to you, Nick. What have you got for us this morning?
Good morning. My quick tips for buyers, mostly in this point in time, in this current climate, and that is, especially for auctions, if you see a price guide on a property, you've seen some really strong results across the board, and you're fearful that you're not going to be able to afford the property you're interested in, I urge you not to discount it based on what's happened around, you know, at other properties and things like that. We've seen so many auctions at the moment where owners are on the market to be sold in this current climate. So if you discount that property and don't turn up to the auction, we've seen it time and time again where buyers said, oh, I could have afforded that property. It sold for less than I anticipated it for. So in short, get a good relationship with your agent. Trust the agent and what they're telling you if they're saying it's going to go there. And also, you've got to be in it to win it.
Yeah, and also expect the unexpected, because that's real estate.
100%. You never know what's going on behind the scenes in the owner's situation, their motivation to be sold. That's right. You have to expect the unexpected. There's no doubt about it.
Listen to in-depth discussions with industry leaders on investing options, understanding different suburbs with insider perspectives and exclusive tips.
And it is a Real Estate Wednesday. We're talking to Esther Suckling and associates working in the housing division from Grattan Institute, all about, of course, just how we sort of tackle this density housing problem. And I want to ask you this question, Esther, and that is, what initiatives have governments taken to increase property density? I mean, it is always a little bit political. And how do they aim to make housing more affordable, do you think?
So, great question, and it's one that we've been following very closely. So the big reform that we've recently seen is the National Planning Reform Blueprint that the Albanese government put forward. And what this does is it adds an additional 200,000 homes to the previous target of 1 million extra homes over the next 5 years. What the government has done, which is quite clever, is to incentivize the states and territories to get the ball rolling with this increase in housing stock by putting $3.5 billion in incentives on the table. So states and territories will be able to claim those incentives only if they meet the targets within their areas. This is something that the Grattan Institute has recommended for a while, incentivizing the states, because they really have their hand on the lever for increasing density. And we're hopeful that this could deliver some really significant reductions in house prices. If we look at rents, for example, we estimate that the additional 200,000 homes that this policy commits would ensure rents are 4% lower than they otherwise would have been. And that's amasses to $8 billion in savings for Australian renters.
Yeah, well, that'll be good news for renters for sure. Now, what sort of period of time that you think we could sort of see some sort of turnaround with regard to all of this? Because the clock is a ticking when it comes to affordability.
Definitely. And while this blueprint reform commits to a 5-year timeframe, we're seeing some really serious bottlenecks in the construction industry. So we have not enough workers to build all of these homes at the moment. So there are some real logistical hurdles here just around the actual infrastructure side of building this many homes. But the fact that the government has really put this money on the table and committed in quite a big way is a good sign to me that we're at least getting things moving. And the other thing here is that this is just an important political goal for the government to achieve, because Australians are becoming increasingly frustrated about how difficult it is to navigate this housing market. And so I do think that we're going to start to see some shifts.
Well, you'd think it would be a bit of a vote catcher, wouldn't you, politically, because so many people are caught up in it.
Exactly, exactly. And I think that's partly why all sides of government are pushing hard on housing.
Now, you were talking about building. I just finally want to come to this point, and that is how you can explain higher density doesn't necessarily mean constructing high rises, but rather providing more of these housing options that you're talking about.
Yeah, so I think even when I joined this housing team, I had a bit of a misconception that higher density kind of meant huge 10, 15 story buildings like we see in Docklands. And a lot of people say that they don't love the area of Docklands, which is quite high density, and they don't want to see their area turn into a form of that. But what's kind of important to consider here is that there are many shades of increasing density. And what we're talking about is more the 3 to 4 story household or apartments, as I was saying before, the semi-detached dwellings. And if you think of a lot of the cities that Australians love to visit, like Barcelona and Paris, a lot of European cities, that's an example of medium density done really well, where the cities are still thriving, people are close to where they work, they're close to where maybe their kids go to school or childcare, but they're still kind of beautiful cities. And that's what we're striving for in Australia.
Yes, indeed. All right, then we'll leave it there, Esther. Have yourself a wonderful Wednesday, and thank you so much for contributing to the conversation this morning.
You too, Craig. It's been lovely to chat.
Don't navigate the real estate market alone. Let us help guide you in the world of real estate every day. Make better informed decisions with the latest news and insights.
What factors do you think are contributing to these high prices, particularly in Albert Park, like Middle Park?
Yeah, I think that the improvements on the land and the cost of renovating homes, as we all know, in the last 5 years has increased dramatically. The record that happened late last year in Albert Park was a home that actually sold for nearly $32,000 per square metre. It shows that if you have a good renovation and the rest of the boxes are ticked in by way of location, presentation of the home and street appeal, you're able to extract an extremely good price in the market.
We connect you to the best real estate information across Australia. The Real Estate Podcast.